You are about warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour. And I'm happy to announce we've been joined by former U.S. attorney, our good friend, James Antel. Jim, how you doing, man?
Don, Mike, good to be with you once again on this beautiful sunny day in Wisconsin and in the United States of America.
Thank you, Jim.
We're still a republic, right, Jim?
We are. As far as I checked just before we went on the air, I think it's still intact. We may be teetering, but we'll try to remedy that in the next 45 minutes, right?
We will do our best to solve all the world's problems. Jim, here's one of my problems. My grievance for this Friday, if you will. Pat Cipollone giving testimony today, and I don't know what he said, Jim. When am I going to find out? Do you think the J6 committee's already got, you know, a video team working on right. the testimony to roll out for the public on Tuesday? Or will they save it for the prime time next Thursday
night? The AV Club is all over it, Jim.
Either one of those, depending upon what the subject matter may be, but I think you're right. If you're in the IT team of the J6 committee, don't anticipate spending a lot of time with your family this coming weekend. So lots of work to do. Pat Cipollone, as you indicated, spent eight hours of time today with the committee. And what that tells me is that he is talking. And that may sound self-evident, but the reality is that if he had gone in there and raised executive privilege, pleaded the fifth, other things like that, this would have been much quicker. He is talking. He's providing detail. And you join that with the notion that this is a man who was right there. If my recollection of the West Wing geography is correct, the counsel's office is right below down a staircase from the central offices where the Oval Office where the president is. He was right there for an awful lot of this on January 6th, before and afterwards. There's a lot of material to cover here. And so I think that, again, the J6 committee is going to be mining a lot of this next few days for presentation next Tuesday and again prime time.
But I want to know now. I feel like Veruca Salt. Jim, there's other reporting at the Washington Post. It's on the front page right now. Trump considers waiving claim to executive privilege for Steve Bannon to testify before the January 6th House committee. And, sir, I haven't read the details of the story. I know that you have not either. But this is the most befuddling headline I have seen recently. A, why would Trump have a say? Joe Biden's the chief executive. B, Bannon didn't work at the White House at the time in question. And C, the guy's already been charged with criminal contempt. Hell, his trial starts, or at least is scheduled to start, on July 18th.
Yes, yes, and yes. How many things can we unpack there that are problematic? The headline, obviously, the writers attempted to capture some of the latest craziness from our former president and may not have done a complete job. You're absolutely right. Once again, executive privilege to be claimed by the present president. We know that from previous cases in which documents and testimony have been an issue. We know, too, that executive privilege is not one of those things that is a broad doctrine out there. And among other things we have talked about, if you are talking about criminal behavior, if you're talking about doing something like, say, overthrowing the government or undermining the normal processes of it, that's a crime in most books. And there is something called a crime fraud exception to all these privileges, including attorney-client privilege. Those things also apply. And if that sounds too legal for you, and it doesn't, it doesn't. The reality is that this is just another attempt by the former president to be heard at a time when plainly he is, I think, probably feeling some heat here. His former counsel is now going in to talk, and others are coming forward We've got issues in Georgia happening, and I think he needs to send messages to America that this is all crazy, when in fact it is not.
Jim, do you agree with me, Counselor? The only logical choice at this point for Donald Trump is to declare he's running for president again.
You know, there are an awful lot of people who say that would be the mechanism, right? Because then you will maintain that if, whether it's Fannie Willis or Merrick Garland or someone else indicts you that is political and try to stop your political campaign, that may well be. That's the documents out there politically. It certainly is not a legal doctrine. And again, in context of prosecutions by the U.S. Department of Justice, as I've often said, you go where the law and the facts lead you. And you do that with some freedom, some discretion. You've got to exercise judgment well. But you do that until it would really affect an election. And typically, although it's unwritten, that's somewhere between 40, 50, 60 days out. If Merrick Garland has enough to indict a former president, as I've said so many times with you and with Dom on this show, the decision not to charge, not to indict because of political reasons is as corrupt as the decision to indict because of your political enemies or other political animations. And so he's got to do what's right. This attempt to indicate that I'm going to be running for president by the former president here, that's, again, just a latest attempt by Donald Trump, I think, to avoid that and to be able to come up with another defense down the road, which is not meritorious.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, joining us. Jim, appreciate it. As always, happy Friday. Fannie Willis, Fulton County, D.A., Georgia. You brought it up. Let's go there for a moment. She issued a bunch of new subpoenas, including to a sitting senator who's, on the Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham, who's going to fight it, Jim. And he's a lawyer, to my understanding, as well. Jim, what's your take on that particular part of this?
Sure. Again, as we've talked before, what does fight mean? Well, if you are saying you're not going to show up, that's a real problem. We know that's pure contempt. You need to show up at a minimum and raise a privilege. The question is, what kind of a privilege does he have? Well, he's got a right to declare his shielding under the Fifth Amendment if, in fact, he engaged in some crimes, which could, in fact, be the situation. Executive privilege, probably not. And so, again, this is a political response to a governmental purpose and a governmental function. The other thing I see from this Fulton County matter is very impressive also that, as you indicated, Dom, subpoenaing as many as 50 people. This indicates that she is looking beyond just this singular phone call to the former Secretary of State there, Brad Raffensperger, asking for the 11,780 votes. She is looking for a larger conspiracy. She's trying to figure out if there is more of as some people have said, sort of a RICO case here involving lots of people. You could charge that very discreet prosecution unit just the call and the attempt to undermine the election. She is looking broader than that, and that's why the Rudy Giuliani's and the John Eastmans, and maybe even some as senator, might be implicated by what she is doing. A very interesting revelation about how broadly she is interpreting what happened there in violation of Georgia law, not federal law.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, we got the tape. I mean, you could have charged him immediately. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that there's all this time and effort and energy and subpoenas going into this, it certainly seems to indicate a wider investigation, as you mentioned. But, you know, what is a RICO, how does that impact, how would that change this particular Fulton County in Georgia? How would that change this investigation if it becomes a RICO act or a RICO investigation?
It doesn't. I've prosecuted and presented to the grand jury RICO indictments. It is just a lawyer's way of saying, you know, there's a very sophisticated criminal enterprise here that had tendrils, it had purpose, it had definition. This wasn't just a random operation. It's very organized and structured, and that's what she's plainly focusing on. And again, thinking about what may have happened here, as we're thinking about the White House and the January 6th committee here, she is looking to see whether or not, with respect to Georgia in particular, were the things said by Senator Graham, were the things said by these others, Rudy Giuliani, that affected in a very structural way the way that they attempted to undermine the Georgia vote. And again, it may just be a label for some people. My sense of it just more accurately represents how broadly she's looking at this and the number of people who would be brought into the ambit of a possible grand jury indictment coming out of Georgia. Again, the narrow event was the one we all think about, but she is plainly looking for lots of different tendrils here and would not be surprised, however you call it, a conspiracy, a RICO violation allegation, it is broad.
Racketeering Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, that seems to apply in this case. Willis implied or said that she would possibly send a subpoena to the former president himself. Mm-hmm. Could, if that were to happen, could Trump just drag this thing out, you know, for years, Jim?
Once again, as we have seen, the answer is yes and no. Again, at a minimum, you would think that you'd have to show up, right? That's right. The basic understanding that people like Steve Bannon and others have come to understand, or will hopefully come to understand fairly shortly. Would he run back into court? Sure, of course he will, and there will be those lawyers who will be happy to take on that case, that cause. Is it a successful one? No. Because once again, she will not say that we're asking to trample over his Fifth Amendment rights or his other privileges that he can legitimately raise. She is asking for information. And to the extent that he wants to raise those privileges and those defenses, that's okay. But he's got to identify then the basis for doing that. Courts look at that all the time and figure out whether or not that's genuine or not. That is what takes time. Undeniably, the former president would go down that route.
James Santel, our fine guest, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. Jim, 1 week from today, Trump's already scheduled to what? Be deposed under oath. Now, that's a civil matter, Jim, but anytime Trump is under oath, I see it as a good day. How about you, sir?
Right. And the other thing to keep in mind, again, the civil proceeding is that while you can raise the Fifth Amendment and certainly other privileges, you know, it doesn't have all of the trappings of a criminal process. Obviously, in the criminal proceeding, a prosecutor could never call, never compel testimony in the first instance. Here you've got a civil piece of litigation. The other recollection and strong thing that all lawyers who practice in the civil area that understand is the civil case. Especially in a deposition, you don't have to narrowly circumscribe what your focus is. I can ask things that may lead to other things, even if I don't know where they may go. So the questions can be relatively broad. They've got to be relevant material, but they can ask a lot of things that may not be focused just upon the narrow subject matter of the lawsuit itself.
And if he pleads the fifth in a civil case, Jim, in the last 30 seconds of the segment, that can be used against him, right?
Absolutely. You assume that the negative inference that what they're asking you about would be the truth, and that can be used in a civil proceeding against you. Absolutely. It carries with it that significant consequence.
Folks, take the long way home. We got a fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Come back with us.
Happy birthday to you. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed.
What'd you wish for? No, don't tell them, Grandpa. That's not true.
Get the latest info about COVID-19 vaccines at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.